This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 3, Episode 13 of TMNT Classic, The Ninja Sword of Nowhere. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 31. Episode 31.
We're not. Are we not saying we're back this time?
I try not to.
I know. I felt it.
I hold it in.
We need a regular intro. Like howdy.
We need a lot of things.
Like welcome or something.
I don't think everything has a regular intro.
Yeah.
I don't think we need it.
I think it'll prevent us from saying we're back every single time. This is an off-air discussion, by the way.
Yeah, right? This really shouldn't be on...
We should have talked about this before we started
the show. Who cares? You know, I feel like... I think I've mentioned this several times on the podcast, but for me, a lot of what I like about doing this is I like listening to it later. It's more of a personal diary.
Yeah.
Because I just go on about random things, sometimes things going on in my life, and I'll think, oh yeah, I was watching Alf that week. Or, oh yeah, I was into that week, because I'm talking about it.
Oh yeah, we were really into Cheers.
But we keep bringing it up. I just feel like I have to. It's funny. But anyway, let's talk about this.
So this episode, okay. This is one of the first episodes that I distinctly remember watching as a kid.
What? Really?
Like, well, it's
memorable.
The other ones I feel like I vaguely remember like things about them. This one I distinctly remember watching. I distinctly remember the sword cutting into the thing and him walking and Shredder walking through the thing.
That's a pretty graphic image. Let's not spoil it. Come on.
Oh yeah. So anyway, let's just start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the Technodrome, and yes. For some reason, Shredder and Krang are up super super early.
Yes.
And that's just a running gag in this beginning section, and they're up super early because Krang's machine detects alien metal.
Yeah,
on the Earth.
It's like Krang is the equivalent of the guy at the beach with the metal detector, but, you know, he's using the Technodrome and he's not at a beach.
Yeah, and then he hands Shredder the alien metal detector, which just looks like a metal detector, but kind of weird.
It's an alien one.
It's got cool... Well,
why would it be so different, you know?
It's got a cool curves and a cool shape to it.
That's right.
So then he sends them up to Earth to find this. And then we cut to the turtle lair, and it's 7 a.m., and the turtles all wake up, and they're all groggy except for Leo.
Yes. Have you noticed Raphael's different voice in this episode?
Yes! Raphael's voice is so fucking odd in this episode.
It really stood out to me. It's not good. It's just weird.
I think the other guy, Rob Paulson, is the normal voice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he's not in this episode.
I actually was questioning if they switch him out, but I'm guessing not.
I don't think they switch him out, because I think he's back again for later episodes.
He's back?
Whoa.
He's back.
This guy is not the permanent voice.
Okay, yeah, maybe he wasn't.
Yeah, Rob Paulson is back next episode.
You know what's funny, actually? There's a similar scene it's not as bad in them as this, but there's an episode of The Simpsons where they change voice actors in the middle of the episode.
Oh, really?
It's a very minor character, the one with Stampy.
With who?
Stampy, remember the elephant Bart gets? There's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart gets an elephant.
I don't know.
Really? That's a pretty classic episode. It's an earlier season, but anyway.
I gotta figure out.
If you haven't seen it, you know, it's really good. Anyway, so Bart gets an elephant because what happens is, you know, they have those radio shows where you can call in and they can offer you... Well, the way it works is you call on radio... if you're not caller, whatever number, no, they call you. I'm sorry. If you pick up and say whatever you're supposed to say, they give you either an elephant or money.
Oh yeah, I remember Stampy.
And Bart wants the elephant. Like, nobody's supposed to say the elephant. It's a joke. But Bart wants the elephant. So then they have to give him the elephant, you know, for various reasons. And then he gets the elephant. And there's a point where they're considering selling the elephant. And there's a guy who's buying it from them. His name is Mr. Blackheart.
Oh, yes.
Freaking hilarious.
I remember that.
And then Lisa goes, Mr. Blackheart, what do you do? Oh, you know, he's a seal clubber. Like everything terrible that you could be. And then he ends it with saying president of the Fox Network.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love that about the show. Is there apparently the people who work at Fox really like that too. They liked it when the show would bash on.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, this is hilarious. So apparently my boss just messaged me to let me know that this meeting at 2 o'clock was canceled. And I was going, I wasn't going to go anyway.
Nice.
He just said, not sure if you were planning on coming in at 2, but wanted to give you a heads up anyway. I wasn't. Don't worry.
Apparently Stampy's first appearance is in the episode, Bart Gets an Elephant.
Well, get out of here. So anyway.
Who would have thought?
Anyway, Mr. Blackheart, that's the name of the guy or something like that. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, Mr. Blackheart.
Yeah, Mr. Blackheart, I looked it up.
Okay, so Mr. Blackheart offers to buy the elephant, and then right after he says, you know, he's talking about buying the elephant, and then Bart complains or Lisa complains, and he goes, I'll get that one too, implying he's going to buy the children. And then right after he says that, the voice of Mr. Blackheart is the guy who does the voice of Reverend Lovejoy.
Really?
It's such a weird transition. It's really quick. He only has about 3 lines, and then Homer offers him keys. He goes, here's the keys for the elephant. And then he goes, elephants don't have keys. But it's Reverend Lovejoy's voice. It's not the other guy's voice.
Weird.
And then that's it. It's such a quick... I'm thinking, did the guy just leave? But did they have to make an edit, and he wasn't around, so they just did the best they could?
Well, I looked it up. Rob Paulsen does the voice of... Raphael in every episode except for 2. This one and one called The Turtle Terminator, which is coming up later in season 3.
Is it the same guy who did this one?
Yeah, same guy.
Oh, all right. At least they're consistent.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
I don't know why they use the same guy. He doesn't sound like Raphael. They
oh, no. In the final season, he was voiced by someone else.
Shouldn't you get somebody who sounds like the character?
I mean, yeah, this guy just sounds totally not like anyone.
It doesn't sound like him at all. I noticed it immediately. So it stands out.
It's incredibly bad, too.
I can't even impersonate it. Yeah, I was about to try to, but I can't.
Anyway.
Go on.
All the turtles are groggy, except Leo, who's up and at him, bright and early, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And they all throw pillows at him, but then they have their breakfast pizza, and they're okay.
Disgusting.
Breakfast pizza is oatmeal and grapefruit on a pizza.
I thought you were going to do the pizza scale.
I'm asking you right there. This is the pizza rating.
Well, I think grapefruit is incredibly disgusting. So
it's
that's
oatmeal and grapefruit.
Well, I like oatmeal, but I hate grapefruit. So I'm going to give that a 0. No, I'm going to give it a 1.
I like grapefruit.
It could be worse if it had ginger on it. I hate ginger.
You hate ginger? Wait, you give it a 1.
What happened?
New listeners. We have a 1 to 10 scale. Of pizza, we're keeping track of every pizza that the turtles have eaten in this
still
entire.
Still need to be introduced because we don't do it often enough.
You don't do it. It doesn't happen. I thought it would happen a lot more. It doesn't happen in a while.
Yeah, so did I. I thought it would be a constant thing. If it's only early on, they talk about pizza a lot, then they just don't.
Yeah, they go through like episodes where they eat like 5 weird ass pizzas, then they go through like a bunch of episodes where they don't. Anyway, we're keeping track of all the pizzas they've eaten throughout the season, throughout the series, and then we're gonna have a definitive ranking of all the pizzas.
We always talk about how we're going to eat them, but I don't know if that's going to ever happen.
Yeah, well, your oatmeal grapefruit is a 1.
It's disgusting, yeah. I mean, 1's the lowest, right?
I guess. We haven't given a 0. The only thing you've given a 1 to is sashimi.
Whatever is the lowest, I'll go 1 above it, because the only way it could get worse for me is if there was ginger on it, then that would be...
Well, the lowest thing you've given so far is sashimi pizza.
Sashimi?
Sashimi pizza.
This is way worse.
So I'll go to 0.5.
0.5.
There's no zeros. There's only point.
No zero. Okay.
Half a star is the lowest star you can get. I don't mind this. I think I'm gonna give it a 3 or 4. I'm gonna go to 4.
If I didn't hate grapefruit so much. I don't think
I dig grapefruit.
I think it's so disgusting. I can't explain why.
It's tart. It's super tart.
It's just, it's so gross to me. And the way it looks, it even looks gross to me.
Anyway.
Looks disgusting.
That's how they start their day. An oatmeal and grapefruit pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But then they realize, holy shit, they didn't look at the calendar. You know what day it is? National Sensei Appreciation Day.
Right, because everybody has a freaking appreciation day these days, right? Why not your sensei?
It's the best. It's just such a dumb joke, but
I guarantee you, it's probably Appreciation Day for something right now.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it is. There's always some stupid. But why do people need this? By the way, I really don't understand that. Why do people need to be appreciated for crap by strangers? You know, National Secretary Day. So
today is Dinosaurs Day, National Ice Cream Sandwich Day, and National Night Out.
Did you look this up? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Oh my god. A National Night Out? Really? I thought the National Night Out was called Friday.
Yeah, you think National Night Out wouldn't be on a Tuesday?
Yeah, right. Well, you know what it is?
Well, they don't know where we're recording this, so.
Well, you know, That Night Out was created by people trying to get people to go to clubs more on Tuesday.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just like Love Day.
In case you're wondering, yesterday was National Spider-Man Day.
Really?
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
It didn't seem like anybody talked about it.
It was also National Girlfriend's Day.
Every day. It's every day. Every day is National Girlfriend's Day, depending
tomorrow,
on what kind
tomorrow
of...
Tomorrow is Grab Some Nuts Day. Oh. National Watermelon Day.
I think you're making this up.
No, I'm looking at a site that...
I think somebody is making this stuff up.
Yeah, I'm sure. So
it's so ridiculous.
Well, I mean, like, all the national, like National Watermelon Day is the Watermelon Council, whatever. It's like, we should make a day so we can sell more watermelons.
Watermelon Council.
Yeah.
A council of watermelons. I just pushed a bunch of watermelons with bow ties on.
Two watermelons! And their
glasses.
Their mouths are just a slice in the watermelon. Like.
That's right. That's like a right. Puppet. Have some big pie chart behind them. Sales are down! We need to fix this.
They're just like... On like a podium, like on a large podium, five of them surrounding one smaller podium. Where guys like the sales are down. We need to fix this.
This needs to be fixed. And then there'll be some, you know.
And then they spit seeds on the side.
Yeah, that's right. And then there'll be some new, you know, kind of, you know, up and coming executive. He'll have blonde hair, you know, swish a certain way, and sunglasses. Hey, why don't we make holiday?
That's outrageous.
No, hold on. I can just keep going. This could be the whole episode right here.
Yeah.
Just keep going. This week on Watermelon Cast. So, they made the square watermelon?
Yeah. You just grow in a square box.
Apparently, this took a very long time to create. Some researchers somewhere took them years to figure out how to do this.
I had yellow watermelon the other day.
Is that also not natural?
No, I guess it tastes exactly like watermelon.
I think to myself, would you want to be the guy whose job it is to figure out how to make the square out of watermelon? You were some scientist, you know?
Like,
I'm a scientist.
Nah, it's called a watermelon.
And they made a better offer. The Watermelon Council people were trying to... Square! It has to be square! You heard the song?
That's when they started the research, by the way. I think it took them 20 years. So they started it right
when the Huey Lewis hit came out?
Huey Lewis hit came out in the 80s. The Watermelon Council decided that now they're going to make a square watermelon.
Can we agree that Huey Lewis is the fucking best?
I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
I think people would disagree with that, but...
Nobody I would...
The fucking best.
That's one of those things I feel like if I was around somebody and a Huey Lewis song came on and they said, this sucks, I would almost immediately dislike them. You'd have to be a really good friend for me to let that go. If you were an acquaintance, you know, you'd probably be dead to me.
You're telling me a Huey Lewis song doesn't come on and you're like, man... Kind of fucking party.
That's how I feel.
How everyone should feel.
Well, I think a lot of people today, you know, these kids, they're born in the 90s, right?
Some of them are listening to Future and
Future.
Don't listen to Future. It's gonna make you really mad about the current climate of music. If you ever want to be really mad about the current climate of music, listen to Future.
We already have enough to be mad about in this country.
Anyway,
we already get mad about this. I already got to get mad about Raphael's voice. Go on.
So it's National Sensei Appreciation Day, and they want to buy a present for Splinter. Mm-hmm. But they open their turtle bank, and they're penniless.
No, they have sun-dried tomatoes.
They do have sun-dried tomatoes in there.
Which I don't get the joke. by the way. I don't even understand what that.
I don't really, because it comes back later, in a way.
Is it just Michelangelo stole the money and replaced it with sun-dried tomatoes? And
I don't know. He's just throwing sun-dried tomatoes in there. I have no idea what the joke is.
He even says something weird. Like, hey, dude, you know. I don't know.
I think he says you got to keep him somewhere.
You got to keep him somewhere, yeah. I think maybe that was the line. At least there wasn't a rat there eating it. That would be a great crust.
Rat king. Fuck.
Rat-tocracy. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place today, honestly. I really am.
Anyway, we go to Channel 6, and Irma's on the phone with someone, and she's like hitting on them.
You hear the music immediately, you know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, here comes Irma.
She has a certain theme. Irma's.
She's like, I appreciate a man who can admit he's wrong. Maybe we can discuss it over lunch, and gets hung up on. And April asks, who was that a boyfriend? And she was like, no, it was the wrong number. Rough.
Irma needs the D.
Irma does need the D.
You know what's funny is that you can really see the difference between men and women here. When a woman is, you know, just constantly getting rejected, it's sad. When a guy is constantly getting rejected, he's a loser. It's not a guy who asks out every woman he sees is a loser and a creep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think if you had a guy say those lines with Irma, well, wrong number. You don't want to go out with me. You know, and like every chick just rejects them. It's just sad. It's just you know, creepy. Yeah, it doesn't get sympathy.
If Irma was a dude, it'd be like the read of it would be entirely different. Back at the news station, Vernon gets yelled at and says by Byrne, and Byrne says, "Dog bites man, not a story. Man bites dog. It's a big
story."
He says
there's no news. He says
makes some news. And man bites dog. That's a story. Go bite a dog.
Wouldn't it be funnier if he just started robbing a place?
If that was the news.
I'm making a news story, Burns. What are you doing, Burns?
That would be a good offshoot of this. Like, Vernon goes nuts and it's like, I need to make the news. I need to make the news. And just starts, like, fucking shit up.
Like, for 24 hours straight, he's in a room, there's all these papers piled up. He doesn't know what to do for news.
There's not enough news. There's not enough news. And he just fucking goes nuts.
I'll make the news. He opens a drawer of his gun. He grabs it.
He becomes the Verninator.
Verninator? It'd be a good episode. Nobody takes him seriously.
No.
It could be that all his crimes are you know, miserably, you know, disasters, so nobody realizes he's actually trying to rob a store. You know? And he gets away with it. I can just keep going with this. All right.
So then we go to the pawn shop, because the turtles go to the pawn shop to try and it's the same pawn shop owner too, I believe.
It's the Maltese hamster, I believe.
Yeah.
Where we stupidly, I'm actually embarrassed about this now. When I'm talking about that episode, I'm going, who's Sam Spade? Is that supposed to be Bogey? That's the main character in the Maltese Falcon.
Did you really say that?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
I remember it, and I'm embarrassed now. I want to retract it. sorry, I'm
dumb. I've read that book. I don't know why I didn't correct you.
You read the book?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, all right. I bought the book. I haven't read it. I don't have time. I just buy books that I want to read. I never read them.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Anyway, at the pawn shop, there are so the turtles are looking for stuff, mm-hmm. and they're like, we need Japanese stuff, so they ask the owner about Japanese stuff, and the guy brings them a ninja sword that he has in the back that someone
just happened to have this, you
that
know.
Someone just brought in.
Later, that ninja sword will be used in Pulp Fiction, and be left in the pawn shop. Get it, Bush? No, all right. Anyway.
So then Shredder comes up in the laundromat across the street.
Laundromats.
Oh, yeah. Well, at this point, when he shows the ninja sword, he asks them how much it is. And then Mikey says, do you want sun-dried tomatoes?
He think, first off, this the biggest elephant in the room with this show all the time during these kind of episodes is, why would the turtles have money?
Where do they get the panhandles?
Do they panhandle? What do they do? Why do they have money?
Oh, from what we've seen earlier, they have about, like, 9 cents on them when they break open their bank.
No, but where do they get that 9 cents?
Ooh.
You know, where do they get that? Where do they get the money to get that turtle couch?
Well, that being said...
Where do they get the turtle TV?
Well, all that stuff is there in the sewer. That's all from the junkyard.
So that's from the junkyard. And
yeah,
Donnie,
and Donnie fixes it. Yeah.
Okay, with what tools did he fix it? He had to get the tools, right? I mean, come on. There's a point where
he raided Baxter Stockman's lab.
Oh, you know what? Actually, that makes some sense.
I just made that up. I don't even know that's true.
I miss him. He's 1 second ahead of them still.
I love that so much.
If anybody doesn't remember, that's an, you know, no, that's an older.
That's a premium app.
I don't think that one's behind a paywall. I'll put it behind a paywall though now.
Anyway,
buy it.
So when they break open their turtle thing, they have like their little turtle bank. They have like 9 cents.
Yeah.
But they managed to buy this ninja sword. So the guy sold them a ninja sword for like 9 cents.
Maybe they just, you know, they gave him something else. You know, you don't know what
they
happened.
Gave him sun-dried tomatoes.
They gave him sun-dried tomatoes. They taught him how to do a karate kick. You know, you don't know. There's a, this is totally off topic, but it's so funny. I have to mention it. Have you seen Karate Kid 3?
The next Karate Kid?
No, it's still
Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, I don't. I probably have. I've seen them all. I just don't remember which one 3 is.
Okay, so in Karate Kid, I have never seen that movie without Rip Trax. I've only seen the Rip Trax version.
Oh, really?
And there is a part in it that is so funny where the guy who's the head of the Cobra Kai, the teacher, whatever his name is, just randomly knocks on this. No, he knocks on this guy's door, and the guy opens the door, and then it just cuts to him, and then one of the Rip Trax guys goes, do you want any? Do you need to buy any karate? Like he's selling karate door to door.
That's also one of those movies where they forgot the thread. Where right. Like in Karate Kid 1, there's not a lot of karate in Karate Kid 1, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot of Ralph Macchio running away from the bullies.
Have you seen them?
And doing chores for Mr. Miyagi.
That's right.
And then it all comes together at the end, and he becomes a karate master.
No, son, take out trash.
That's the thing. It's the same thing with like Home Alone. I bring this up all the time. There are no like shenanigans and traps and.
Oh yeah, that's true.
In Home Alone until like the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2, it's like it's all that shit.
Well, because that's what people liked.
No, see, I think that's what people remembered. You appreciate it happening because there's not a lot in it.
Yeah, if it was the whole movie, it's not as good.
Yeah, that's why two is like weird and.
I still like Home Alone 2.
I guess. But from
Tim Curry, come on, he's in the hotel. It's great. That's the Plaza Hotel in City, by the way.
Yeah,
that's also where the movie For Love or Money, I think, was filmed. Michael J. Fox plays a concierge.
Oh, maybe.
It's a good movie too, actually. Throwing it out there. Anyway, let's keep going.
So Shredder appears across the street. He runs into the pawn shop as the turtles leave and just starts fucking the place up looking for this sword, looking for this metal, this alien metal. And he asks the guy, what did those guys that just left buy? And he goes, I just sold them a ninja sword. And Shredder goes, swords are made of metal.
He figured it out.
He did.
Swords are made of metal, in case you didn't know, Shredder. You're also covered in metal.
Then we cut to the turtles walking down an alleyway and there are boxes in the background.
Is it implied that Shredder went in there because the alien metal detector brought him in there?
Yes.
Is that
what, yes.
Okay. And then, yes, there are plenty of other... You know what's funny about that? Is there are plenty of other things in that store that could be made of alien metal that they could have bought.
Whoa.
Or somebody else could have bought just now.
Well,
or...
He runs in, he turns on the metal detector and says, it's not here anymore. And then he asks the guy, where'd it go? And the guy goes, they just left with a sword, and swords are made of metal. So then it cuts to the alleyway where the turtles are walking back with their sword, and there are three boxes. There are three perfectly sized boxes in the background. For Shredder, Beob, and Roxanne to leap out of and attack the turtles.
And that's what inspired Solid Snake's Metal Gear, kind of, you know, where he hides in the box. Came from this.
Came exactly from this.
She didn't know. I'm just educating you listeners.
So the turtles fight back. Beob and Rocksteady. But then Shredder knocks
Raph. Always a tough fight. Always a tough fight.
Then Shredder knocks Raph right into a garbage can.
Whoa, that's right, yes.
And he knocks Leo into a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
And then grabs a sword.
Yep. There it is. He's the Shredder of old. Remember when he was in the park and he got desperate and hungry? he's just kicking everyone's butt.
Just kicking so much ass.
He kicked so much butt. He did that. What was that crazy move where two swords flew in the air and cut something perfectly? Oh, he kicks Leonardo's swords out of his hands and they fly in the air and cut a rope above him in a crisscross motion. They're both going in different directions and they make like an X and cut this rope and
they ricochet off walls.
It's crazy.
I love stuff like that. It's like, look how good of a ninja I am. We're like, well, I guess.
One time.
Like, that has to work once.
Well, this is the problem with these kind of shows where you don't have a continuing plot line is he can't always be the best because there's certain episodes that call for him being crappy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it just doesn't work. There's a time and a place for it, so it gets confusing.
Right.
It doesn't work. But anyway, he beats them up. He takes a sword.
He takes a sword, but then Donatello tries to stop him with a watermelon.
Donatello was very happy.
He kicks it up in the air, and it hits him with his bow, and it just explodes right in his face. So it's like... he literally hit a garbage watermelon at a person, but it exploded in his face.
Isn't that... Haven't we all done that? Come on.
It's a rancid garbage... It was like a watermelon just in the alleyway.
I would love to hit somebody with a rancid garbage watermelon. That would be great. Oh, what a great... You know, I'm going to do that at least once.
Remember, like, in old cartoons and comics, anytime there was garbage, there was always, like, a banana peel...
Yep.
And a watermelon rind in there.
Yeah, watermelon rind. That's a classic garbage, you know.
How much watermelon were people eating?
People love watermelon.
In the summer, yeah.
Apparently, I remember once I met this person who was from Korea, and they told me that, yeah, apparently it's really expensive to get watermelons in Korea. So when Koreans come to America, they just want to buy watermelons immediately.
Oh, really?
It's for whatever reason. I think it has to do with trade laws. Or they don't have free trade with watermelons. I don't know what the logic is. There must be some reason.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, no, granted, this is what somebody told me. Who knows?
It could be wrong.
Could be wrong, yeah. You know, I just believed them. Okay. Must be true.
So after Shredder takes care of the turtles, he realizes the sword can cut through reality and make
portals. How did he recover from that garbage watermelon?
He never got hit with a garbage watermelon.
He just got, you know, some after blast there.
No. Donnie knocks it in the air, swings his bow at it. The thing explodes when it hits his bow and lands all over Donnie.
Oh, so it just... Oh, I see.
You don't remember this?
No, I don't remember this. I missed this part for some reason.
It was my favorite thing in the episode.
I think I was looking away.
So he realizes that the sword can cut through reality and make these portals. And he uses it to, I don't know... Go somewhere else. Just leave, and then we have a rock that they just leave. And then we learn that the sword was made 1,000 years ago by a ninja craftsman who found alien metal.
That's right. Man, I didn't notice the Shredder is coming at him with a freaking pipe. What a boss!
Yeah.
Jeez.
He goes out with a pipe.
Freaking pipe, man. He's going real New York there.
Yeah.
Freaking Don! Oh, I see this. I miss this. I was looking away. I think I was getting a glass of water or something. I was just playing it in the background. That's really funny.
So then Splinter also knows about the sword, and he says he decides they should call April.
It's a big freaking watermelon.
Yeah, it's a big. It's like a big soggy ass watermelon.
It's huge. It's like half the size of him.
Yeah, and it's like soggy as shit.
Well, I mean, imagine it must be bugs inside of it.
Yeah, it's a garbage watermelon. There's some like the grubs.
Rat King's minions are in there.
Wouldn't he hit it and that rat just popped out?
If I was one of the writers on the show, I'd put them into every freaking episode. It'd always be popping up in the background.
A rat just pops out. Oh, yeah, fucking great.
He has a little, you know, he has some kind of mark on him that implies he's from the Rat King's crew.
He has a sash.
He's branded by the Rat King. No, you know what? He had the Rat King's nose headband.
Yes. The Rat King wears two headbands. One over his actual where headband actually is, and one over his nose.
Oh, as you know, in case you forgot. But that's a backup.
It's a backup.
You know, I like how a headband serves no function outside of fashion.
Yeah. It's supposed to keep the sweat out of your, like a sweatband.
Is the Rat King sweating a lot? I don't get the impression he is.
He's in the sewer. I don't know.
Is the sewer? I guess it's a moist place.
It's a moist place. Is it a warm place? I don't know.
Only the Rat King knows. And people who live in the sewers. If you live in the sewer, shoot us an email.
So,
ninjapodcast@gmail.com. Getting that sewer Wi-Fi?
It's probably warm in the sewer. I bet it's... I mean, I don't know. I was about to make a statement that I bet it's warm in the sewer, but I...
Yeah, but we digress.
We digress a lot. So they decide to call April and put on a fake newscast so that they can trick Krang or Shredder into coming up with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So Don has a giant microwave transmitter. Like, it's enormous. It's like this big gun thing. And they put on a fake news broadcast. And it cuts to the Technodrome. And Krang is watching soap operas.
Oh, wasn't Irma watching the same one?
No, Irma was reading a romance novel before.
Oh, okay. Romance novel.
So Krang is watching soap operas and gets interrupted by the news broadcast that tells
him... He's not happy about this. He's pissed.
No, he's pissed. And this isn't the first time it happens.
Didn't you know Krang loves soap operas? Were soap operas more popular at this time? Because I feel like people always talked about them.
I think back when you had, like, you didn't need a two-parent income, like a two-income family, soap operas were way more popular. Imagine now they're less so.
Yeah. I guess you're right on that point. I mean, you know, when the mom was home, right?
When somebody was home,
usually the mom, though. Yeah, because that's really the demographic for soap operas. I don't know a lot of guys, you know, I'm going to watch the soap opera, except for Krang, you know.
Krang's into it. They don't have that in Dimension X.
They only have is war shows.
It's just a camera outside. It's not even a show.
It's just stuff blowing up. I mean, there's no plot.
And the neutrinos. The neutrinos host the Dimension X TRL show.
Imagine how great that would be. Oh, I'd be all over that.
It'd be the only show that wasn't, like, people dying.
It'd be all this kind of music I would like. It'd be, you know, swing music and... hey, have cats!
It'd be like space swing.
Space swing. You throw somebody into... imagine how great it would be to throw people in the air and swing dancing when there's no gravity.
It's basically the music from the Jetsons, where it's like future, but not future.
I never liked the Jetsons that much, now that I think about it. It was okay. I mean, I'll talk, you know, positively about it sometimes, but now that I'm really thinking about it...
It's not a good show.
Not that good. Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's... I don't really know what's... I haven't watched it in a long time, to be fair. You know, maybe I don't remember it, but... You know, the Flintstones, you at least got... You know, it's just a knockoff of the Honeymooners,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, and I like the Honeymooners, so...
Who doesn't like... Oh.
There are people who don't like it.
Yeah, don't like the Honeymooners.
They're called horrible people. They also...
If don't like the Honeymooners, people, we call those people wrong.
Call those people bad people. They belong in jail. Entertainment jail. You don't like the show? This is where you go. I also don't like Seinfeld. All right, we're going to have to put you in the electric chair.
Yeah.
A few other things. That's always a weird one when I meet people who don't like Seinfeld.
My girlfriend doesn't like Seinfeld.
Is she crazy? I don't even understand it.
I don't understand either. And I try to I try every now and then, just not into it.
I think I could see people not liking some of the earlier season episodes. But when the show starts getting really in its stride, I can't.
Perfect.
I mean, come on. When somebody's eating a Snickers bar with a knife and fork, you don't think that's funny?
Perfect. It's fucking perfect.
There he is.
The big salad.
Big salad.
Salad's fucking perfect.
Doesn't everybody have these little moments in social etiquette breaches? You know, come on. Why can't you bring soda to a party instead of wine? I'm with George on this one. I think he's right. But we digress. Yet again.
It's Gore-Tex.
It's Gore-Tex.
I could quote Seinfeld forever.
The bro. No, the man's ear.
The bro versus the man's ear. The mannequin that looks exactly like Elaine.
Oh, that's such a good one. Oh, we just keep going. Anyway.
So Krang believes the newscast that April puts on, the fake newscast saying they found the turtle's lair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shredder shows up with his little, like, Krang's like, Shredder, go get them. And Shredder shows up right away, cutting a hole in reality with his sword.
Because that's what we can do now.
He can do it now, and he just fucks shit up. I don't know what the turtle's plan was.
Is he kind of like Nightcrawler with a sword?
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
That's the idea, I imagine. Because we go in there later. In the episode, we go into that pocket of non-reality. Right. But what was the turtle's plan here?
I don't think they had a plan.
Like, they were like, let's lure him to us. But we know he has this weird sword that cuts holes in dimensions. We
saw it. He beat the crap out of us with a pipe.
Yeah. So he shows up and he steals Splinter and keeps Splinter stuck in what he calls the back of the beyond.
That's right.
Which is just like this weird floating amorphous area with like these floating rock things.
They always do that. Dimension X got rocks!
Got rock, floating rock platforms.
Floating rock platforms, you know, what it does.
So Shredder and Splinter fight in there, and Splinter says the coolest line ever. I have defeated you everywhere, Shredder. I can defeat you nowhere as well.
Woo!
That's fucking awesome. I wrote that down. Like, I want to use that somewhere. I want to steal that line.
You have a situation where you can use that on somebody in a fight.
You can't, because you have to be in nowhere.
How many people have you defeated?
In nowhere? No one.
How many people have you defeated in general? And then you gotta, you know.
What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying in
Team
fight.
Fortress. You mean Team Fortress 2?
In a fight, you know, how many people have you beat up? And then how many of them can you beat up in nowhere? How are you gonna get to nowhere? I mean, that's tough.
I'm 0 for 0 right now.
You're undefeated. You're undefeated. No one ever beats you. You just never had a fight.
I've also never won, but...
Never won, but you've never lost. You break
it's
even.
Like, it's like our college football team is undefeated.
Yeah, it is undefeated. I've never played. I wish art school did have college teams like that. it's so funny.
We only have a debate team that would complain about everything.
I'm upset! Hurt my feelings!
God. Oh, that's not... I don't even want to think about that. That'd be too upsetting.
So Shredder holds Splinter for ransom in the void,
mm-hmm.
and tells the, and then he just leaves. And
that's how you do it.
Yeah. So Splinter's trapped in that weird void area, and Don has a plan. So they go to channel. They get a Channel 6 news van.
Mm-hmm.
But Vernon hops in the back
because he thinks it's a story.
He thinks it's a news story because April showed up to the station.
I really feel this whole Vernon subplot does not need to be in the episode. It really doesn't need to be there.
It doesn't even pay off.
No, it doesn't pay off. It's just there.
So Vernon is in the back of the van. April has no idea, and he drives to the auto junkyard to put on another fake newscast to lure Krang and Shredder out again. And she interrupts his soap operas again.
Man, Krang just wants to know what's happening to John and Marcia.
It is John and Marcia.
It is John and Marcia.
Because they go, oh, John, John, John. Oh, Marcia, John. Marcia. Is that a Brady Bunch reference?
I think it's just a reference to soap operas at the time. It was just a common name used, I'm assuming.
So April puts on the fake newscast telling...
Hmm?
Ooh, is it a fake newscast or is it an actual newscast because she's actually broadcasting with a van?
I don't remember, honestly.
Well,
she puts on some kind of newscast.
Puts on a newscast. Whether or not it got beamed to everyone or just Shredder is unknown to us right now. And Shredder, she basically said the turtles will surrender to Shredder at the auto junkyard.
Right.
And Krang tells Shredder, you should go up there, but bring Foot Clan with you this time because they might be pulling a trick.
Because those Foot Clan, they're really useful, by the way. They're really good fighters.
Specifically in this part, they just stand there and get hurt.
That's usually what they do, but even more so.
They provide nothing. They literally just stand in like a five-person formation just everywhere. Just walking around like what? And then they die together.
Peace out!
Are they they're robots, right?
Yeah, they're robots.
Why don't they get sucked up by the magnet later?
Yeah, you're thinking too much. You're giving the show way too much. Because it's only alien metal. No,
it isn't. It doesn't use alien metal.
Well, they're kind of metal that's, you know, not metallic. There it is. It's Dimension X.
They're X metal.
Hold on. Joking around. Maybe they're made of Dimension X metal. You don't know.
Yeah, that could be true.
These are new foot soldiers, not the old ones that Shredder somehow created, or I don't remember what the hell the story was behind that. I forgot. I remember when freaking Rocksteady and Bebop had a whole paper bag full of computer parts. That was great. It only could have been better if there was blood on the bag. They beat up some guy in the tech store and took his stuff.
It was here you go, boys! And the bag had like a logo on it from like a local pizza place.
Yeah.
I had a guy wander in there when I used to work at the shack. A guy wander in once with bloody knuckles and a plastic bag full of cameras.
I thought you were the screwdriver guy, right?
Yes, I love that story.
Have I said it on the podcast? I don't remember.
No, I don't think so.
So, my parents owned un bodega growing up.
They don't own it anymore?
No, they retired.
Oh, okay.
But one time we were in there, this guy shows up, like shady as shit, and starts going at the people in the store. Does anyone want a screwdriver? Do you want a screwdriver? I just sell a screwdriver. And my dad sees this guy, and the guy comes up to me, and my dad like asks me if I want to get a screwdriver. And I'm like, I don't know. 11.
And you were wearing that shirt that says "I love screwdrivers."
And my dad just yells from the back, like, "Don't touch that!
Do not touch that screwdriver! There's probably DNA evidence on it."
Ugh.
It's for a crime scene.
Love it.
There's some guy, there's some dead repairman somewhere. Has a screwdriver. We really shouldn't be laughing. It probably is.
Yeah, you know, probably
wasn't. I'm going to laugh anyway. Whatever.
So, Shredder walks around looking for the turtle in the auto, in the auto junkyard.
Mm-hmm. That's, and Baxter's right around the corner.
One second ahead. Three of the turtles pop up from behind a pile of junk. They're like, where's the other one? And it's Donatello has the giant magnet crane thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he sucks up Shredder onto the magnet, along with a bunch of other junk.
Yep.
And the turtles are fighting the Foot Clan, I guess, but not really. It's just kind of like Bebop and Rocksteady wrestling with Don to turn off the magnet. But he ends up sucking up a bunch of junk and turning off the magnet, but it knocks everybody out besides the turtles.
That's right.
And then the aliens show up.
Of course.
Do you remember the aliens, I hope.
Yeah.
So an alien spaceship shows up, and it has alien antiques on the side.
They gotta get it. I love the way they look, by the way.
Yeah, but this is like, okay, the burn being abducted thing is random. This one is so fucking random.
But they like antiques.
They do like antiques.
Not totally out of nowhere. There is a connection. It's an antique sword.
Yeah, but
right?
They just happen to come to this place. This, like,
how do you know they don't have an alien, freaking metal detector? You don't know what they have.
Well, because they just come in looking around and saying, this place is shitty. Earth is garbage. Look at all the junk they have. Nothing here is worth any value. And they see a sword, like, oh, this sword might be worth something. And they throw it in their alien spaceship.
There you go.
This is just an excuse to get this sword out of the show so we can't use it anymore.
Obviously.
Yeah, but it's like such a blatant, like, unnecessary, it's like such a long way to go around. Like,
why can't you just have it blow up?
Yeah.
You know?
Or the magnet made it lose its powers.
He magnetizes
it. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other ways you can go about this. But they were trying to sell alien toys that week.
Don throws his turtle whatever grappling hook thing,
right,
in the best animation ever of the episode. The entire animation budget went to these like 2 seconds of this grappling hook thing wrapping around the edge of the antique.
It looks pretty good, I gotta admit.
Yeah, the alien antique spaceship. It looks pretty good.
It's cool looking.
They're thinking that the weight of the van is gonna stop the ship from taking off. It doesn't. The ship pulls up the van, pulls up the camera. The turtles jump onto the camera and get pulled up with it. The alien spaceship opens a portal to another dimension to travel away, and happens to the dimension that Splinter is in.
Of course.
Splinter sees the hole, jumps out of the hole, knocks the turtles down off the camera. Everyone falls safely to the ground. Camera's gone, sword's gone, aliens are gone.
But... I like how he's just kind of meditating.
Yeah, because he's just waiting. He can't do shit from over there.
Think about his life. Yeah.
And then we find out that Vernon was trapped in a car trunk.
He'll be alright.
And that's the episode.
That's it.
I can't get over that weird alien thing. Like,
I can get over it,
It's so fucking... I'm
not going to sleep over it or anything.
No, but it's so fucking... Like the other alien thing was bizarre and silly. This is just such a... Like the writers wrote this far into the show, and they're like, "Fuck, we have to get rid of the sword. We have to get Splinter back. How do we do this?"
And then one of the guys, "Oh, make an alien eating a watermelon. You were the one that told us to put the watermelon in the episode. Yeah, that was a good idea too."
Kids
like aliens. I
mean, they're kind of.
Go ahead.
They're kind of cool looking, the aliens.
Well, the thing is I'm thinking to myself, it would have been easy if we just made the sword blow up. Then you wouldn't have to pay somebody to design these aliens.
Yeah, maybe, but then you...
Even if it took 5 seconds, it's still...
You still have to get Splinter back.
Yeah, that's true. Well, when the sword blows up, it opens up the hole in the dimension.
Yeah, you could...
Maybe when the sword blows up, it undoes all the things it did. That's a classic plot move.
Yeah, like the vampire thing?
Yeah, you destroy the thing, and then everything goes back to the way it was. You kill a vampire, nobody's a vampire anymore. Same thing. You destroy the sword, and anybody who's in another dimension comes back. There it is. where they should have done it. And that's the episode. It's over.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Well, anyway, we're done. I'm out of here. I'm King Cowabunga. I'm heading out.
I'm Pizza Toss and Gub.
You next time. Take care.
Later.